is that are still out with power. I'm still out with power since Friday. My sister's been out without power since Friday. We've been running. My sister's been on a generator. And but you know what? Praise be to the Lamb of God, because we give God praise. Because this is how I look at it, folks. God knew this storm was coming before you and I knew the storm was coming.
Amen.
And I thank God today that we can still come together as a body of believers, that we can come into one mind and one accord, that we can still acknowledge our Lord today and to know that He is a sovereign God and that He still loves us and He sees us and He knows us and He's moved by compassion. And He will continue to keep His hand upon His people. And He will continue to take care of us. And as long as we continue to stretch forth our faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, man may let you down. Your mom and dad may let you down. But God will never let you down. And He will be with you closer than a brother or a sister. And so I thank God today that you and I are here today. We give the devil a black eye. I was not going to cause this to close today on Family Friends Day. I talked with my wife and I said, we're going to continue to do this. I said, whoever shows will show, and who doesn't, that's fine. We're going to continue to do this because we've already planned it. And if those missed it, there's more food for you to eat and there's more food for me to eat. So it's a win-win situation, folks. But I want to say thank you for going above and beyond the call of duty. Even when there are those here today that has no power in their homes, they came to the Connect Center and they cooked the food and prepared the food. Thank you. Thank you for doing that to make this possible today, because we're going to fellowship today. So let us read before we begin today, Galatians 2 and 20, as we read every Sunday morning. Let us read this today. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ now lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building today. Today, as we were looking at this today, I thought about a few things that I wanted to share with you on Family and Friends Day. And it's good to see each and every one here today. But the title of my message today is this: Are You a Friend of God? Are you a friend of God? And I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ is not only your Savior, but Jesus Christ is your friend. And He is your best friend and a friend that will never let you down. And I want you to know today that God wants us to get to know Him, because He really knows us inside and out. And all we have to do is stretch forth our faith and ask the Lord Jesus Christ, if we haven't made the profession of faith, ask the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts and in our lives by repenting of our sins, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come into your heart and save you. There is a song that was written back in 2004, and it was by Isaac Hooton, and he wrote a song titled "The Friend of God." And the verse goes like this: Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me, it's amazing. And the chorus goes, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. And he goes on and writes, he says, God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. And I want you to know today that God clearly lets us know that He is with us and that He will stick with you when all the chips are down, when your friends and your neighbors may turn their backs on you, when someone may take so to speak, a dagger in your back and stab you. I want you to know God is your source and He is your friend and He will be with you all the way to the very end. Today, as we go into this passage of Scripture, my first point today is this: making one friendly. If you're going to have friends around you, you have to make yourself friendly. You can't just walk around with a snooty nose or walk around that you're too good, that you cannot make friends. The way that you make friends is that you have to make yourself friendly. And we live in a world and a society today that we don't see a lot of people that are friendly. We see a lot of people that's within themselves, and it's all about them. When I'm going to do it, where I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it. It's all about me, I. But the Bible tells us clearly, as the Lord Jesus Christ lets us know, that if we're going to have friends in our lives, we have to make ourselves friendly. Proverbs 18 and 24 says this. The writer says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know today, you may be out of power of your house. You may be out of sorts in your life. But I do want you to know that God is in the eye of the storm of your life. He is in the eye of the storm of what's going on in America. He is in the eye of the storm of your life. And the only thing that you and I can do is we must look up to the heavens. We must look unto the hills, which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord who makes heaven and earth. And I want you to know today, when we look at the hills, we look at God's creation. And as His creation, we can worship Him in spirit and in truth, to know that God is with us every step of the way. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly lets us know in Job 6 and 14. To whom? To him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend. Even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty, to him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend. And I want you to know, Job, as we see in the Bible, went through a lot of things, but he still made himself friendly. He still was a friend of God because God saw his life. And yet the devil did everything he could to try to destroy him. But he says, I know who my Redeemer is. Though God slay me, yet will I trust him. And that's where we're at today, folks, in our life, is that we're to trust in the living God, and no matter what our circumstance may be. My second point today is this. There is a friend that is closer than a brother. There is a friend that is closer than a brother. John 15 and 14. The Bible says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants. Listen very closely what he says. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. But this is what Jesus is saying. But I have called you, friends. We look at God as a God sometimes that sits in the heavens with a big billy bat. And we look at him that we're not worthy to stand before him. And we look to God that he is a God that's ready to knock us out when we do something wrong or when we fail. And we look at a God that we say that we're not worthy. So in other words, if we feel like that we're not worthy, then we feel like there's no need trying. There's no need calling on God because God is so big and God is you get to the point where you can't even describe what God is, and you feel like, well, there's no hope. There's no use. But I want you to know today that God is not a God that sits in the heavens with a billy bat ready to knock you out because you do something wrong or because you've made a mistake. God is a God of grace and of mercy. Now, I want you to hear me today. God is not a God that saves you in your sins. He saves you from your sins. But he's not a God that's constantly on your shoulder telling you how bad you are. Because he says that a servant does not know what the master is going to say, nor what the master is going to do. But Jesus goes a step further. I'm not just your Lord and your Savior. I'm your friend. I'm your friend. In other words, when we look at that word friend, Jesus is intimate with you and I today. He wants a personal relationship with you. He's not a God from a distance that wants you to serve him from a distance. God wants to go from where he's at into your heart by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, because he wants a personal relationship with you day in and day out. That's why he said he went further. I'm not just Lord and Master, but I am your friend. And a friend will have your back at all times. He says, for all things that I've heard from my Father, he says, I have made known to you. So here's, excuse me, here's the thing. Jesus goes before his heavenly Father. And everything that the Father says to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus in return comes to us, and he comes to you, and he comes to me. And he becomes that friend that we need. You see, Jesus sees you and I in all our faults, in all our failures. He knows our shortcomings. And how God sees that is through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why you and I can come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, because we can do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can't go straight to God. We've got to go through the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is through the cross that you and I have victory. It is through the cross that you and I can live in this life and have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ and have victory in this world, is that we have to go to the cross and we have to go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he says, everything that my Father has said to me, Jesus says, I don't hold nothing back because I'm your friend. Jesus doesn't hold back and holds the good for some and holds for the other. He's good for all, red, yellow, black, purple, pink. I don't care what color it is. God loves you inside and out, and he doesn't want to keep you right where you're at, but he wants to transform you. He's wanting to renew you. That's why the Apostle Paul says that we must renew our minds on a daily basis. There'll be things that will go in our minds, and it's whether we decide whether we're going to keep it or we're going to let it go right through, because that's why we've got to be transformed. We've got to be renewed on a daily basis so that the friend of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, can walk with us, can talk with us, can share with us, and let us know exactly what we need in this world which we live. Listen, this world is doing everything they possibly can to get relief. People are snorting up. People are boozing up. People are shooting up. People are doing everything they can to get away from reality, to get away from their problems. They'll go to parties. They'll go places. They'll go do things to get away. But guess what? It comes right back to them the next day. It does not go away, folks. You can drown yourself in a lot of different things, but the problem is never solved. But here's where the problem gets solved. When you come to know the friend of God, when you come to know the friend of God, when you get to know him in a mighty way, it's something about having a true friend. Some of us today can talk about some true friends that we do have, and some of us today can talk about some friends that stabbed us in the back. But we can look at those that are true to us as a friend, cherish them. Cherish them. If you got a friend today, a true friend, cherish them. It's wonderful to know that we have friends that we come in contact with. Yesterday, or matter of fact, was it yesterday or Friday? My days are mixed up with all the storms going on. I believe it was Friday. I think it was Friday. A friend of ours, my sister, had no power in her house. She is on oxygen right now. I've never seen my sister down like this in my life. She is on oxygen and she has to have power. And she has canister tanks that the oxygen people are bringing in. And they only last but so many hours. And so they had brought in a second tank. She'd went through 24 hours of no power. She had a tank. It lasted 24 hours. They brought another tank. And they said, Miss Sloan, this is the last tank. The second tank is all that we've got. And says it's scarce right now because there are people that are needing oxygen. There's no power around. We don't know how long power will be out. She had a portable unit that she was charging that she breathes off of that for about 4 hours. And so she had drained that tank out. She was on her portable. She had 30 minutes left to go with her oxygen. I was praying. I was saying, Lord, help us, because my sister's needing oxygen. And Lord God, only you know about all this. We got a phone call from a friend of ours. We had reached out to them. And they said, we'll be there right at 30 minutes. We've got a generator she can hook up to. And so we were praying, and they brought the generator. We gassed that thing up, turned that thing on, and just at the nick of time when she was finishing out her last 30 minutes, we were able to transfer oxygen over to her. Folks, I want you to know God is on the scene. That's the God I'm talking about. That's the friend of God. That's the friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows exactly what you and I are going through right now. He knows what we're faced with. But praise be to the Lamb of God. If you don't know the friend of God, today is a day of salvation. If you harden not your heart, because you can get to know the friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He will be with you every step of the way. The Bible lets me know, even in the Old Testament, there was a story of David and Jonathan. His father was Saul, king of Israel. Saul did not like David at all. He always felt threatened. But David had a kindred spirit, and he was a friend of Jonathan. His daddy may not have liked him. And David, Saul didn't like David. David may not have cared for Saul, but he had a friendship with his son. And the Bible story goes that they had a close friendship. And yet they were two men that were tested with many difficulties. David became a member of King Saul's household and won many victories against the Philistines. Jonathan, the king's son, David, became so close to him that they became friends immediately. And they began to show friendship with one another. And Jonathan gave David his royal robe, his armor, his weapons, as a sign of friendship. They also made a covenant with each other. Can you imagine having that kind of friends, but you got the father that hates your guts and wants to kill you and try to distinguish you out? But the swearing of the friendship was in the name of the Lord. The Bible goes on and says how David and Jonathan became best of friends, how they protected one another. Jonathan went to great lengths to protect David from his father, Saul. And when David's life was threatened, Jonathan would shoot an arrow into the field where David was hiding, just to keep his father from killing David. And how they showed their love with one another. David and Jonathan expressed their love, even physically, by embracing one another, by taking care of one another. How their friendship was even tested. After Saul turned against David, Jonathan attempted to reconcile them, but only with brief success that took place. And yet how their friendship endured. The Bible lets us know that David looked after Jonathan's children long after he was dead. Even though he had a father that wanted to kill him, David had a relationship with Jonathan and loved him, and loved him so much that he took care of the next generation. Why? Because they connected with one another. That's the love of God. The love of God loves us. God does not want you to be disconnected from Him. He doesn't want you to be extinguished from Him, but He wants you to embrace, and He wants to embrace you to strengthen you. My third point today is this: love your friends. Love your friends. The Bible says for us to love our enemies. You say, Pastor, how in the world can I love my enemies? Pastor, how in the world can I love the one that stabs me in the back with their words? Pastor, how can I love my enemy? Here's how you can love your enemy. You love your enemy by what Jesus said for us to do. After we have done what Jesus says for us to do, guess what? Jesus handles it. Jesus takes care of it. It's in God's hands. It's in Jesus' hands. When you relinquish it and you do what Jesus has commanded us to do, it is no longer your possession. It is no longer in your hands. It is no longer for you to take charge. It is no longer for you to control it. It is no longer for you to take prominence in taking it and saying it's mine. It is not yours. The battle is not yours. David said, "The battle is not mine. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will take care of it." The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Vengeance is mine. Listen, I am a living witness of what God can do on vengeance. Of all the years that I have pastored here, this makes 26 years that I've been here. I've seen people come, I've seen people go. But it's something about when you give people to the Lord and you leave it with the Lord. When you got people that are against you, people that may try to bring you down, what do? You go before an altar of prayer and you give them to the Lord. And you say, "Lord, this is what's going on. It's in your hands. I'm leaving it in your hands. I'm just doing what you've asked me to do. I'm just the messenger bringing the message, and I'm just going to obey what you've asked me to do." And guess what? God takes care of your enemies. God takes care of your enemies. And I've seen it time and time again. The Bible lets me know in John 15 and 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." This is great right here. Verse 13 says this: "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." There's no greater love has no one than this, than our Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for you and I today. We will never begin to understand, nor will we be able to scratch the surface and understand the love of God. There are some today will write you off, and some will say you'll never make it. There'll be some that will say, "I don't know why you're claiming to be what you are when you're not." Listen, God, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for every man and woman, boy and girl. He laid the life down so that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. That you and I may obtain grace and mercy. The Bible says for us to come boldly before the throne of the Lord, that we may obtain grace and mercy. And you and I today have the Lord Jesus Christ because he has laid his life down for you and I. Folks, that is a friend. And when you're connected with that friend, you are a friend of God. In my closing today, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek." Listen, love does not seek its own. It is not provoked, thinks no evil. This is what love is with the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. Love. When people see us, when they see you, they're going to see love. I've said it and I will say it again. They may be people that you know, and the friends that you have may never step their foot in your church. They may never crack a Bible open, but they're looking at your life. You may be the Jesus that they may ever see. They may be the one, you may be the one that they see because they see your life. They see who you believe. They see who you trust. They see that you have a friend and a friend that you know that is the love of the Lord. The Bible goes on and says it bears all things. Verse 7, it believes all things. It hopes all things and it endures. Listen to me. It endures all things. Listen, God loves every one of us. And I want you to know today, love, the Bible says, love hides a multitude of sins. Love. Listen. If we don't have love, if we don't have love, we don't have anything. You can prophesy. You can say all the great things. You can have all the knowledge. You can have all the acolytes. You can have everything. And you can follow the law to the T. But if you don't have love, it is nothing. Listen. We're nothing but filthy rags because none of us is righteous, not one of us. It is only by the grace of God and the mercy of God. Listen, love bears all things, believes all things, and it endures all things. Stand with me across the building today.